This is known as Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Easter. Then at the Gospels we have recorded all the events in the life of Christ that last week. And it's interesting to note that one-third of the Gospels is devoted to the events of the last week. So today, since this is the Sunday before Easter, we want to move in the Gospel of Mark to read about the event of the crucifixion. It's Mark chapter 15. We'll begin reading at verse 1 and read the event. It actually, literally happened. All four Gospels record the crucifixion, not in exactly the same way, because the Holy Spirit did not destroy the personality of the writer as he inspired them. And they each have a little different thing to add. This is the way Mark writes about it. Chapter 15, verse 1. Immediately in the morning, the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus, led him away, and delivered him to Pilate. Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered and said to him, "It is as you say." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Then Pilate asked him again, "Do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you." But Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at the feast he was accustomed to releasing one prisoner to them, whomever they requested. And there was one named Barabbas, who was chained with his fellow rebels. They had committed murder in the rebellion. Then the multitude, crying aloud, began to ask him to do just as he has always done for them. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" For he knew that the chief priests had handed him over because of envy. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd so that he should rather release Barabbas to them. Pilate answered and said to them again, "What then do you want me to do with him whom you call the king of the Jews?" So they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said to them, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they cried out the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him away into the governor's hall, where they called together the whole garrison. And they clothed him with purple, twisted a crown of thorns, put it on his head, and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then they struck him on the head with a reed, and they spit on him, and bowing the knee, they worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him, put on his own clothes, and led him out to crucify him. Then they compelled a certain man, Simon the Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. Then they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. When they had crucified him, they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the inscription of his accusation was written above, "The King of the Jews." With him they also crucified two robbers, one at his right and the other at his left. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And he was numbered with the transgressors." And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ha, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking among themselves with the scribes, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe." Even those who were crucified with him revile him. Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some of those who stood by when they heard that said, "He's calling for Elijah." Then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine, put it on a reed, and offered it to him, saying, "Let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come to take him down." And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and breathed his last. Then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. So when the centurion who stood by him saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." There were also women looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the less, and of Joseph and Salome, who also followed him and ministered to him when he was in Galilee, and many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. There is Mark's account of the crucifixion. Now, we who attend church have read this account many times. And I don't think we need to belabor the fact that here is an actual, literal event that took place, not only recorded in the Bible, but in other secular historical accounts. So I thought that what would be important for us this morning is to read this account and then catch the New Testament commentary, which gives us an explanation of this event. Jesus died. Why? What is the purpose of his death? And I think we find nothing better to explain that than in Hebrews chapter 9. Would you please turn now to Hebrews chapter 9, and we'll begin reading at verse 23. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23. This is the writer's account of the purpose of the death of Jesus the Christ. Hebrews 9, 23. "Therefore it was necessary that the copies of the things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices." Now the subject is the superiority of Jesus Christ to angels, to Moses, to Abraham, to the Old Testament sacrifices and priesthood. That's what he's writing about. Verse 24. "For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters into the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now once, at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Now let's examine this by just looking at what he did as recorded in this verse. And the first thing mentioned is that he appeared. Now, what does he mean by that? He means that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, present with God the Father and the Holy Spirit from all eternity, came here to earth. He appeared on the earth. He first appeared at Bethlehem as a child. He then appeared at Nazareth as he grew and became an adult. He then appeared in Galilee, ministering, teaching, preaching, healing, helping. Then he appeared, as we read, at Golgotha, the place of the crucifixion. So what this means is that here is an open manifestation of God in the flesh, sent here for a purpose. He appeared. That's a fact. That is a fact. He appeared. Now, what else did he do? He appeared once at the end of the ages to put away sin. That's why. Now, in thinking about this the past month, I made a list of all that you could say about the cross, about the death, the purposes, and the accomplishments. And the list was long, 15, 20 items. But it boils down to one thing. What is the purpose of his sacrificial death? It is to put away sin. Isn't that marvelous? That's what he did. And in order to do that, he offered himself. His death on the cross is sacrificial. It is an offering to God to take the penalty for our sin and put it away. He came to put away sin. That's a certainty. It's not if, maybe, perhaps. This is what he did. He put away sin. Now, what's the extent of that? All the sin of God's people. Past, present, and future sin, the penalty for that is put away. Now, there are a lot of words that kind of explain put away. There's the word to nullify, to make void, to abolish, to render ineffective, to annihilate. To put away means it's gone. We used to sing a chorus, "Gone, gone, 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 yes, my sins are gone." G-O-N-E, gone. That's what it means. Our sins are gone. Put away. That's what he came to do. Now, if that doesn't make your heart jump for joy, nothing will ever do it. There will never be any music or any certain writing or any emotional appeal that'll do more for us than the realization that he came to put away our sin so that it is gone. Now, you might say, Bill, how did he do that? How did his death on the cross take away our sin? It's done this way. Our sin is put on him, and he died with it. So it is gone, buried, as far as the east is from the west. And in 2 Corinthians 5:21 is stated, He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He, God the Father, made God the Son sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Isaiah recorded it this way, All we like sheep have gone away, gone astray, we have turned to our own way, and the Lord, God the Father, laid on Him, God the Son, the iniquity of us all. That's the transaction. That's how it happened. Our sin was laid on Him. He died with it. His righteousness is laid on us. We live with it. He came and offered Himself to put away our sin. Now, this is humanly impossible. There is nothing, absolutely nothing we can do to atone for our sin. Now, because our sin nature is so full of pride, we always want to try to do something. Children say, I can do it myself. I want to do it myself. And that's the way we talk to God. But there is absolutely nothing we can do. He did it. He came. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Now, as you think about this, you have to ask, how bad is sin? How does God regard sin? It is so awful. It is so evil. Sin cannot be in His presence. It has to be put away. The only way that could be done is by the sacrifice of a sinless human being. All of us have sinned, so that we do not qualify. There is only one in all of history who qualifies to be the Savior. And He came and made Himself an offering to God to put away our sin. Now, this sacrifice is said to be voluntary. The lambs and the sheep that were slain as animals were not voluntary, I'll guarantee you that. There was a lot of noise against it. His sacrifice is substitutionary, in that God gave His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now that preposition is the key to theological truth. It means in our behalf, instead of us, He died. Instead of us having the wrath of God poured out upon us, He took it and He died with it. And that the cross is effective in that God the Father is satisfied that the death of Christ is adequate to pay for the sins of God's elect. So that when Jesus was on the cross, He could say, It is finished. Redemption is accomplished. He came to put away sin, and He didn't. And He did it. Now, He did not come to bring a new philosophy, a new pop psychology, a new denomination or a new political system. He came to die for sin, and He did. That's the issue. Sin must be forgiven. It must be put away. Now, another word here that is of extreme importance is the word once. But now, once He did this, in contrast to the priests who had to bring sacrifices every day and repeat them. And this means one time, once for all, He died, and that no repeat sacrifice is necessary. In fact, it's blasphemy. And so it's in contrast. It's the sacrifice of himself, not an angel, not Abraham, not David, but God himself. I was in a Christian bookstore the other day, and they were parading a new book by a man who's becoming nationally known by preaching on TV, and I picked up the book to glance at it, and he was discussing who put Jesus on the cross. Well, of course, you name the Jews, you name the Romans, you name Pilate, you name the priesthood, and of course all of us because of our sin. But he left out the most important matter here is it is God himself who put Jesus on the cross. It is predestined, it is planned, according to Acts 22 and 23, just as bold as it could be said, God put him on the cross. Because he's the only one qualified. It's the sacrifice of himself. So now, as we face this today, either he did or he did not. We have to come to a conclusion. Either you believe this or you do not believe. Now, three things can happen when the Bible is taught, when Christ is preached. The true believers will rejoice and leave a meeting like this, being thankful and rejoicing. Someone who is not a Christian and whom God is drawing by his grace will respond and say, yes, I want the Savior. And those who do not will leave but have to do some very serious thinking about the state of the soul. And this morning, we need to be sure we are receiving this message, we are appreciating it, and that we respond to God. You know, folks, we live here and we think we have a lot of needs. We think we need everything. We think we need better houses. We think we need better cars. We think we need more money. We think we need health. We think we need wealth. We think we need education. We think we need better relationships. We think we need everything. We need one thing. And that is this, to go to heaven when we die. That's all. What is all this? It's temporary. You and I better be sure we're going to heaven when we die. For that to happen, our sin has to be put away. And that can only be done by a Savior. And the only Savior is Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. So the issue is, are we trusting him and him alone and what he has done for our salvation? The alternative is hell. If we don't go to heaven when we die, we go to hell forever and ever and ever, with the wrath of God upon us, with the guilt of sin upon us, with every problem we have in this life we take with us. The addicts to drugs and alcohol will die with that addiction. The thieves and the criminals bearing the guilt will die with that guilt forever and ever. Now, I didn't think of this. God did. And this is His arrangement. And it's because He is holy and right and just that He cannot allow those whose sin is not forgiven and put away in His presence. This Palm Sunday, the Sunday before Easter, may God cause us to believe that He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself once and for all. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Bible, for the truth that we learn, and we bow in worship before You in humility to ask You to give us the faith that we may believe in the death and resurrection of Christ for our forgiveness and for the gift of eternal life. Be present with us, dear Holy Spirit, and work in us from heart to heart that we may believe, and that when we die, we will go to heaven and be with You. Help us now as we live and witness to others, that we may be bold in declaring the gospel. For the glory and honor of Jesus our Lord. Amen.